Welcome back to the Business Systems Summit. I'm your host, David Jennings, and in this session, we're going to be chatting with Jessica Lee Green from theassistance.com. I'll make sure I put a link just underneath this video so you can check out her website. Now, I've been looking forward to this session because Jess, not only is she a lover of business systemization, but she actually goes out and applies it in other businesses as well. I think potentially that background and love for business systems has probably been influenced by her engineering background, which I find is just one of those industries that just seems to get systems. Now, we were connected through the Game Changers, and I'm just in the process of taking a coaching group through the systemology process, and Jess is the facilitator of that group. We're also chatting with her about becoming one of our first certified systemologists. She's already out there in the field, though, doing this for business owners, helping them systemize through some done-for-you programs that she's got. She literally helps business owners fulfill their vision and reach their dreams by solving that critical step that so many business owners struggle with, which is the systemization piece. And it's no coincidence, I think, that our missions are so closely aligned. She's here to free 1,000 heart-centered business leaders and business owners from the day-to-day operations of their business by 2025. So I'm very much looking forward to this session, and I just want to welcome you, Jess, to the summit.
Thank you, Dave. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Now, I know we've got a little bit of a surprise both for the listener and also for me when it comes to this system, because we were bouncing around some ideas. Obviously, Jess working in this space, she's got lots of different angles that she could draw from here. And we settled on one called the power process.
We did.
I'll get you to maybe take us through, maybe talk a little bit about what the problem that this particular system aims to solve, and then let's go through it step by step.
Beautiful. Well, this power process is actually a lean process. So what that means is it's actually a process improvement tool. And having spent a lot of time with business owners and entrepreneurs like yourself, but also working in teams, it's very common that there can be overwhelm at times, there can be stuckness. And even though we might be in a culture of systems thinking and process development, sometimes there's a need to improve them, or sometimes just de-bottle those bottlenecks. So really what this process is about is taking through an entrepreneur, the business owner, or even a team as a collaboration, taking them through a step-by-step process by which we can kind of bring all those issues or problems up to the surface and then deal with them in a methodical way.
Perfect. I love it. And that's going to apply for every business owner. So yeah. Where does it start? What's that step number one?
Well, typically it starts with overwhelm. So it might be an integrator spotting that their visionary is kind of in that stuckness, the, oh my gosh, what should I be focusing on, right? Which is very common. Or it could be something around a business pillar, like in the business or sales or marketing team, or the pillar where we have some opportunity to improve how it's working. Then also might be a project. So there could be a project basis by which there's something that's kind of fatiguing. You know, the project's slowing down. You're seeing that the people are a little bit less energized and potentially not even hitting its deadline. So there's a number of ways that this might kick off. It really is only limited by, I would say, the imagination. So having not like knowing the process is probably the simplest way to then understand when you can apply it.
Yeah, perfect. All right, well, let's walk through that process then.
Excellent. So it actually starts off, where should we start? We start with bringing together a team. So as I mentioned, we might have a project, the business owner, or it might be an area of the business. So typically speaking, either one or a small group of team members will be brought together to actually work through this process. So simply put, it's important to set up a meeting time. Typically, it's great to run this through for like about 90 minutes. So that means that we want to have a meeting, a closed door, distraction-free environment, devices off, in order to make the best of this process.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So essentially, it kicks off with identifying the scope. So I've just obviously assigned three different ways it might start, but it's important for the team that's in the room to understand exactly what the scope is. So that means that we want to know the actual product or the service we're going to be addressing or the project. And we also want to know the start and end points. Now, because process improvement can have many kind of tentacles and it can go off in all different directions across the business, we want to make sure it's really clean and clear of what we're going to get after in this process. So once we've identified that scope, the specific team members that need to be involved, we've set the session, closed door and distraction free, we're essentially ready to start the process. So really once you start that room, you want to set the tone for the meeting, get everyone clear on that scope, and make sure that they're aware that we're kind of going to move through it quite quickly, right? You want to get punchy, short, sharp. We don't want to be trailing off and trying to solve too many problems at once. The first thing is around identification. So once that's happened, the next key point to share with the team is around transparency. So this process is really around capturing the as is, right? We want to be capturing what's happening now. We don't want to be trailing off into justifications or, oh, well, this is the why it's happening and so forth. We just want to be capturing as it is transparently. There's no blame. It's around bringing all those problems to the surface so that we can then get after them and tackle them.
So when this happens, so I think what do you think really triggers the idea or the call for this? Is there, like you said, is it that either the business owner or maybe it's the integrator spotting that there's an issue going on in a particular area or part of the business saying, right, we need to address this, then bringing together the key team members, explaining, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pull apart what it is that we're actually doing now, and then we can start to look for those improvements.
Yeah. So the question is, what kicks it off?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the integrator is always probably the first person to identify some of these. So I'd say that they do often kick it off. But as I mentioned before, it can be a project that's just not getting done.
Yeah.
So we're like, well, there must be a failure in the process. There's issues that reoccur. You know, once we see something recurring more than twice or three times, we know it's a process issue. That means that we can jump in and do a process improvement strategy session, such as this, with applying the power process.
Yeah, so perfect.
One way it kicks off. Otherwise, there could be processes that are already running, like your main core processes in the business. So there might be some failure for leads flowing into the business and then through the marketing into sales. There might be something part of the process across the pillars of your business that needs a little bit of work, right? So we'll capture that problem. Everyone knows that there's some kind of bottleneck. It might be seen as appointments that aren't being booked or sales that aren't being closed. It'll show in the KPIs. So it's an indicator like, okay, let's take a step back. Let's work through this methodically and see if we can find those nuggets of gold, essentially, the way we can solve and improve these processes.
Yeah, perfect. So after you kind of set the scope and that transparency, what's that step after that?
Yeah. So once we've kind of set the stage for what's to come, the first opportunity is really jumping into the first of the waste areas, which we call, and there are eight of those. And the first one being what we call defects. So defects are essentially a part in the business where we might have information, products, services that are incomplete or inaccurate. So it could be a process problem or a human problem. Everything that is basically being passed on to the customer that's not adding value to the customer.
So with this one, so when we've said, okay, the transparency component, we're just going to look at things how they are, and then we're kind of looking into this defect. So if we've identified, right, we're having a problem here, we're not generating enough leads, and that's what we're here to talk about, how to improve that. And then we say to them, it's important that we're transparent here. And now that we identify that that's the issue, then we're kind of moving into this idea here of what these potential defects or something might be. So are we trying to now clearly articulate what is the problem underpinning this bigger problem or what's contributing to this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So first question is really around, okay, what's happening? Okay, yeah. What's going on here? What's the description of any issues that we're seeing in this
project?
Okay, so we've identified the scope and the start and end points. So anything along that process or within the project is when we start bringing up those issues. So it's kind of rapid fire, right? And there's going to be things coming from all different team members, if there's a group, of what those issues are that are occurring, so that we can capture them just in that as-is state.
Yeah, great. So this is because you're bringing in, obviously, the key stakeholders. They're going to have an idea straight away. Oh, I see. And they were made aware up front that this meeting was going to happen. So they've probably had a chance to think over where they feel, you know, this particular process might be dropping the ball.
Yeah. And like nothing's too small or too big with everything here. It's kind of a really great way to bring about thoughts and ideas as well. So it could be anything from just like missing or incorrect information or documentation in defects. Spreadsheets having missing numbers, you know, KPIs not showing up, or we've got potentially invoices missing PO numbers. It's anything that's missing that information or it's incomplete or inaccurate information. So that's what we target in the defect.
Yep.
This process.
Cool. All right. What's the next one you look at?
So once you do that and you've listed all the issues that you've got popping up in your business, the next thing is to actually rank it from low, medium, or high. So you might see lots of them that are low, but equally you might find some real big kind of quick wins that if you got after it, it's a high priority, but it also has high value in getting after it and obviously adding more value to the customer in the end. So ranking each of those items that comes up is really important before you move on. But we don't dive into solving the problems yet. So that's an important thing. This is all the as is, capturing the issues that are there before we move on to the next step.
And was there categories of those issues? You mentioned defect as one of them. What are some of those other categories?
Yeah, well, so they're the next steps. So we move through them one by one. So I didn't want to give you them all up front.
No, this is good.
So the next one is overproduction. So overproduction is anything in your process or your project where you're making more of something. You're making it earlier or making it faster, maybe making more than what's actually needed for the customer. So this might be something simple like making extra copies of reports or potentially redundant storage. There might be other kind of inefficient design processes that are happening in your business, or those odd overproductions when you hit the reply all and hundreds of emails go out to the wrong people. So it's capturing all these kind of areas of the business that there might be some odd process that might be issues occurring.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So once we've done that, we also rank them again and we move on to the next section.
Perfect.
So the next one is waiting. I think we're all very familiar with what waiting feels like. So it can be waiting for information, waiting for equipment, waiting for materials, waiting for people, parts, processes. The list goes on and on in a business or a project of what we might be waiting for. So this is that time, again, transparently, openly communicating around where we might be waiting. And this could be waiting for approvals. You know, we might be simply having these bottlenecks where the work's getting done, but it's not getting improved, so it can't be delivered to the client when it gets completed. It could be waiting for equipment or waiting for any other kind of data, potentially. It might be for your marketing campaigns. You're waiting for information to come through. So in terms of waiting, this is a real issue, obviously, with culture. So, you know, when we're waiting for things, it can be something that really impacts your morale. So it's an important one to run through the team and capture what's going on so we can get that visibility around, okay, what are we seeing occur day to day, week to week?
Yeah, perfect. All right, next one.
So once again, rate all those, low, medium, high. And we move on to the next one, which I love this one, non-utilised talent. So this is a really important one, I think, to my heart as well, because the whole point of this is process improvement, which is eliminating waste, which means that we can move on to high-value activities and tasks in our business. And that's certainly one around supporting and training and mentoring and leading our people. So non-utilized talent in the business. You might be seeing people's experience not being utilized. You're not tapping into their skill set, knowledge, their creativity, the visionary, you know, anything that you're not tapping into right now in your people. People are your most valuable source, so we want to be making sure that they're working on the highest value tasks as well.
I feel like that's one of the sort of biggest unrealized assets in tons of different businesses. And I think once you get the systems mindset and culture right and help to pass that on to team members, that really then empowers them to capture their knowledge and then be able to delegate that to lower cost team members, which then frees them up to start to, you know, work to their unique ability and where they're strongest. So I think, yeah, that's key.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, speaking about Systems Hub, I think that's something that certainly, you know, you allow is that, you know, a bit of flow and streamlining within the team so they know what processes and systems they need to be working on, potentially who owns it or who can delegate it, so forth. But it really allows you to be tapping into that, you know, that power, that goodness of those high value employees and staff that you have in your team.
Yeah, perfect. And then I'm assuming for each one of these categories, it's spot the issue, rate it, rank it, and then move on to the next one.
You've got it. So the next one is actually called transportation. But transportation means it's any unnecessary movement from materials or information, any equipment, but it needs to be moving from one place to another place. So this might be something like handoffs between functions. Might be multiple reviews being done, which are unnecessary reviews because potentially information is not being collated correctly. Or it could be sending and resending emails. So it's anything that's moving from one place to another.
Yeah.
So once again, it's around describing what this is and then going to the team or the staff person you're doing it with and going, cool, what issues are arising? Let's capture them as they are now.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So once they've all been listed, low, medium, high again. And we move on to the next one. And the next one we have is, let me scroll down, is inventory. So inventory is a cool one because it's accumulation of information, any applications, parts or resources in the business, but everything that you're accumulating that's not adding value again to the customer or the client that you're working with. Some simple examples could be stockpiling of supplies or overstorage of different data or processes or systems even. Inventory also tackles cash, so it could be cash that's tied up, which could be then causing issues with some cash flow. Anything that you're storing too long could be backlogged invoices, even sales calls waiting to be made. That's where you start identifying all the inventory issues in your area of the business or the process that you're looking at.
I think what's good about each one of these, it kind of just gets you to think about all of the potential bottlenecks and makes it much easier. Almost like each one of these is just a bit of a prompter to really get to the root of, okay, what are these issues here that we're identifying?
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said earlier, it can be a jogger and sometimes you'll have things that pop up and might be other areas, but that's fine. Just capture them all. Even better, record the session. So then you can go back and make sure that nothing was lost.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So again, once we've ranked those, the next one we move to is actually motion. So motion is any movement by people that is not of value to the customer. And again, this could be some simple things like you might have unnecessary meetings, you know, the over meetings schedule. I think we're all familiar with having been, you know, in teams or projects before where we've just had too many meetings. And then it can be stuff if you've got like a bricks and mortar business. It could be walking between equipment or walking from room to room. There might be switching between applications. I think that might be something as well. I know sometimes that's a problem for me where I have too many windows open and I'm trying to do everything all at once. So switching between applications can be another issue here. So anything that's just unnecessary movement that's adding to, I suppose, well, taking value from what you're delivering to the customer or client.
Yeah, that makes sense. Number it, order it, get it in. Yep. Now, when we're numbering and ordering, is that in each of the different categories? So is each one getting done separately or we've got one big list here of issues and we're ordering?
Yeah, so I use it in a spreadsheet. Each of the categories that I've been talking through are kind of like their own group, and then it's just around listing them all out so that we can deal with them later in the process. So I do have the template here. I'm not sure if you can get available for everyone. Yeah. So, once we've done the motion and we've captured all that, the next one is extra processing. So any steps that are not adding value, again, to the eyes of the customer in terms of what you might be over-processing. So you might, what's some examples here? It's the gold plating, essentially, that you're doing that actually the customer doesn't necessarily care about. The extra formatting or any extra features or details that, you know, might be that... might be the final 20% that takes the most time, you know, to get it out the door that the customer doesn't really, you know, really, they're not really keen to see. Could be any additional reports that you're sending or formatting or making things look perfect in your eyes, which is not in the eyes of the customer.
You touched on one that kind of resonated with us, particularly with the way that we think in regards to System Hub. Initially, when we got started, we used to think a lot about, you know, features and wanting to roll out as many as possible. Then we started to realize, no, the best thing to do is listen to the customer, because more features isn't actually a good thing when it comes to, you know, real world application. They're oftentimes just distractions. You're always better off getting very clear on what something needs to do, and then just do those particular central features or that central journey really well.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, that extra processing can really add extra complexity as well to the business, particularly what you're saying. So we want all the bells and whistles, but that actually then takes away from the core business or the core delivery of what, you know, what you've actually sold, the service, you know, of your customer and your clients. So, extra processing is a really great area to kind of capture some waste areas. And essentially, like what this is all, the whole thing about is get back that time, that money and energy.
Yeah, and then reallocate it to the things.
Focus on those high-value tasks.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, what's the next category?
Well, that's all of them. We got to the end very quickly. So there's eight of those. So you work through them individually with the team. As you could probably imagine, some of those headings might jog other areas. So you capture those, you can pop them back into the other areas of the process. So once we rank them all, it becomes very clear which ones might be more urgent than others. So we've made the priorities of low, medium, high. Then we can start going, okay, well, what's it going to take to address this? In some instances, and obviously time allocated during the meeting, we might be able to solve some of those problems at the back end of the meeting. Other times there might be little issues there that actually require working groups to kind of go out and work on that, solve it and get it back. So the last part of this is around ensuring that we've kind of got clear responsibility in place of who's owning some of these items and tasks and when we're going to get them accomplished or improved, so that we can kind of regain that momentum and be back energized in the business, having solved the problems we've identified.
And then to jump back just prior, a little bit earlier in that process as well, I just want to make sure I have that clear in my head as well. When you're outlining effectively the scope, does part of that also include thinking, let's say that you've gone in deep on a particular process that you're looking to improve, outlining that scope would be saying, well, here's what we've got currently in place. Here's the order in which it's happening. And that's part of outlining the scope. Because then when you move into the problem identification, you can start to plug in some of these issues into where you can see that is happening in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fantastic if you've got processes and systems already in place. Yeah. They come with the meeting. Now, not all businesses do, although it does surprise me, but they don't always have them, right? So, or they might be incomplete processes and systems. So it's around bringing all that you have in that as-is state.
Yeah.
You know, take it for what it is right now, find what we've got going on, address it, and then move on and improve it. So,
yeah. And do you, in situations maybe where they don't have them in place as well, do you find, like, do you go through almost like that linear process is the way that you address it? Like, okay, the phone call comes, then what happens? Okay, after the phone call and you're logging those notes, then what happens? Is that the way that you do it to kind of uncover particularly when things aren't documented?
Yeah, absolutely. In order to do this process, it can be very, very helpful to have the process end-to-end mapped out.
Yeah.
So depending on the team that I'm doing this with, or whether it's an individual, depends on the intent, right? Sometimes this is just a great way to kind of be with a leader, an entrepreneur, or a business owner and be like, right, let's just get all that stuff out of your head, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a clearing process, in which case you don't necessarily need the detail systems and processes and documents and manuals and so forth there. It's around, let's just get it all out of your head on a page, because often once it's out of their head and on a page, it feels like it's half solved. It's that, okay, now we can get after it. And there's that regain of momentum. If we're diving into a process improvement strategy where we're looking at the eight wastes in a process, then it's, I would say, you know, in all cases, we'd like to have the process there and mapped out. Again, project could be one or the other. Typically, we have like a project, a way of delivering a project that can be consistent across any project. So we might be looking at the way a project's being delivered, or it could be the nuts and bolts of what we're actually doing in the project that could be an issue. So that's where that scope becomes really important. And either way, if you've got processes, bring them. But if you don't have them, it doesn't stop you from doing this process.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think what I like about each of the different eight ways is it's enough of a framework that you can almost layer it over any situation that'll, I suppose, uncover areas that you might not have thought about, because everybody will have those things in their head that they think of the issue. And then when you start to dig a little bit deeper, sometimes you kind of uncover other things and go, oh, actually, the step prior to that is actually what's affecting this particular issue.
Yeah, it's definitely acts as sometimes a bit of a root cause analysis as well. So we might have issues that are reoccurring in all of those areas. But if we stop and kind of ask the five whys of, okay, why is this happening? Why is that happening? Okay, and why is that happening? You start now breaking down into the core issue, like what is that root cause that this is the thing that we need to solve or tweak? And then that actually then has the, you know, the benefit of impacting every other area. So it's it's a great tool for starting to recognize those commonalities between business pillars as well. Maybe potentially between common roles in the business.
Yeah.
And then get after and solve it.
So how does the solving happen now? Because I feel like we've got these categories and we've prioritized and ordered them. And how do you kind of get this delegated off to the right team members?
Yeah. So like I just mentioned, it is important to get to the root cause. So in some of them where it's still a little bit grey, five whys is a really great little tool where you can jump in and say, okay, why, until we get to that, you know, that base issue that we need to solve, which then has the results of then solving all the other layers of improvement. Other times we might need a working group. So it might be some subject matter experts that need to come in, that they have some kind of some skill set around that key area or that key process. Again, coming back to the sales example, we would probably be wanting to work with some of the sales team in order to solve any sales issues we have. So we need to understand what applications we're using, what Zaps we're using, where's that lead coming in and where's it ending up? So these types of experts are important sometimes as well if we're looking at a process improvement strategy. What else?
I think that one's a big one as well. Oftentimes people try and, particularly when it comes to systems, they try and solve the problem themselves or think that they have to figure it out. Sometimes the quickest way to do it is actually hire the consultant who designs the process that's tailored to your business, and then you give it to the team member to execute. That can oftentimes just shortcut just years of learning. So I think that's a good insight there.
Yeah, absolutely. It can take away some of the pains and grief and certainly that time, because, you know, I think we always talk about time. Time is required for creating systems. And unless we create that time and become very resistant to it being, you know, taken up by anything else, we don't get our systems and processes nailed and done and improved. So, certainly if you are working with someone that does sometimes have that added bonus that you can get your systems and processes made for you and done. Yeah.
And then, so at this point, then we've started to think about what's the best way to solve this or whom, if it's an individual that we need to bring in, a team member, a focus group, then what happens next?
Yeah. So then we solve it. So the real key outcome for this power the power process is around identification. So we're identifying the as is, and then we're capturing what needs to then be addressed. Now, in the meeting, some will be addressed, potentially even 20 to 50% would be addressed in the meeting. It's very quick. Okay, we need to solve that. This is how. For the more complicated things, we might need to have a working group to in order to solve it. During the meeting, it's important that we set a deadline and we assign that person who's responsible for solving it. And other times, I think it becomes a tool to be used in terms of moving maybe a problem area into a project area. So it might now become, okay, this is a big problem. We're going to need multiple people or time and resources on it. Let's do it as a quarterly project for our business. Let's solve it that way.
What I love about this, this is a great little subsystem that might fit very well underneath a framework like EOS, Entrepreneurs Operating System, and they talk about 90-day rocks and things like that, and they've got their issues list. So it's almost like this is a system that could drive that whole issues component of, okay, we've now identified that. Here are some ways to jog ideas of those issues, prioritize, organize, assign, and then depending on, obviously, the level of complexity, you can kind of fit in with your timeline and figure out, is this, you know, a big rock that we have to, you know, fix within the next 90 days. So yeah, I like it.
Yeah, and that's the way this has been used. It's a really great kind of segue into strategizing or strategic planning for your quarterly or even your annual projects, right? Some of the issues that you might find in here still require a bit of an order and sequence by which you solve them. So yeah. This quarter might be a set project, and then you assign one of them for a project to be solved later on down the track. And it's certainly a great way to kick off some systemization as well in your business. So if you're feeling like there's some inconsistencies showing up, this is a great way for those kind of inconsistencies to come to the surface, identify them. Okay, these are the kind of core issues we're seeing and can be easily solved by some core operating processes and systems. So let's get after the ones that are going to create the biggest win for us and our business and our people to improve those business systems and improve your efficiency of your business. Streamlining is so important, and I think one of the most powerful things for us as staff or as leaders is we feel empowered when we know that things, you know, we know how to get them done, you know, or our staff know how to get them done. It creates a lot more time for those value and visionary opportunities in your business.
And I feel like, again, the more I think about this and I'm thinking in terms of the systemology process, it would really fit well into stage number one in particular with the critical client flow, because once you kind of get an idea of what the critical client flow is, then you start to uncover the issues of what's missing, and then you drill into that, and then you can help to or use this process to prioritize. Because I know we're going through the coaching group at the moment with the game changers, and when we did the critical client flow, particularly with I'm thinking, I won't say their name, but the girls, we talked about, they said, look, lead generation is not my issue at the moment. You know, it's down with the delivery component. So this would be a great way for you to then start to narrow in, well, within this set of systems that you want to get placed, where do you start? And then also, which we haven't quite got through in the coaching program for the systemology, is the last stage, which is optimization as well. I think it would play a perfect sort of role at that particular stage.
Yeah, absolutely. I always kickstart any of the process improvement or process development that I do with this power process process. Yes. Process three times. So I always kickstart it, but it's also a great thing to kind of revisit during the journey as well. So Sometimes midway, you can kind of revisit. So it's a bit of a set and forget, do it at the beginning, revisit the middle, go, okay, what have we actually resolved? What else have we discovered? Potentially even some of the things that you've discovered and implemented means that some of the other risks become higher or lower. So, you know, you might see low move to high or high move back down to low. And then again at the end. So at the end, you really want to be working towards, I suppose, of that 3-month journey of systemizing that critical client flow. You really want to be working to a place where you would want to see 75% of what you've identified, you know, starting to be resolved or off your sheet. So elimination is always first. Let's eliminate first, or secondly, like, okay, let's improve what's there.
Yeah, perfect. Well, are there any final stages in this, or once you kind of get it delegated, that's kind of this power process?
Yeah, so once you've worked through everything we've said so far, I think the last critical point, apart from ensuring that we've assigned responsibility and things can get solved to a deadline, is around understanding when the next time you might revisit this process is.
Yeah.
So, it can be a really helpful quarterly process that you work through ahead of that strategic planning in the traction style model, as you talked about, or it could be the kind of thing that a given business owner, entrepreneurial, like revisits every, you know, quarter as well by themselves. So they decide to close the door and sit down and go, cool, what's happening in my head? Let's get all that out on a sheet again and go again.
I think that's the biggest thing in business. There's always a million and one things that you could be doing. The magic really happens, particularly for the business owner, really any team member, is about where you're focusing that attention. So again, having a way to get very clear on what's actually going to move the needle and then focusing on that, that's obviously going to get the biggest win.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about moving the needle, isn't it? In the right way, in the right area.
Correct. Well, in the tail end, if people want to find out more about your work, Jess, and potentially even have you come and work in their business, I know we can send them to theassistant.com. Is that the best place for them to go?
Yeah, that's the best place for them to go. All my contact details are there on the website or even on Facebook and LinkedIn as well. So Perfect. Each and every of those social platforms are a way to get in contact and message me directly.
Perfect. I'll make sure we put those links right near this session. And then I'll follow you up about getting that spreadsheet as well. I think it'd be a nice little... Absolutely.
Yeah, more than happy to.
Yeah, perfect. So thanks again, Jess, for your time.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure being here with you.